I began tonight talking to you about a man whose name you might not recognize. I'm very confident you never knew him. And yet he did something a number of years ago, about 104 years ago, in fact, that has affected your life. And that affects my life even today. He grew up in a loving family in which his father worked in a coal mine in Ohio. When he was 16 years old, he found it necessary to drop out of school and go to work in the coal mine. His father had died in an accident in the coal mine. He was the only boy that family had. They had four daughters, but just the one son. And so he decided that to fulfill the responsibilities that fell on his shoulders upon the death of his father, he would go to work and do his best to make a living. Over the years that followed, the family lived in different places. Eventually, he fell under the influence of some religious folks who persuaded him to start going to church. When he was 38 years old, he began to do something that affects you and me. He believed in what the Bible describes as the death of Jesus upon the cross. And he began to write the lyrics to a song that has blessed millions of people through the years. When he was 39, it was finished and it was performed in the church where he went to worship. The congregation sang on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. I love that old cross where the dearest and the best for a world of lost sinners was slain. It has now been 104 years since George Bernard finished the lyrics to that great song. His catalog of songs exceeded 300. He wrote some secular songs, but primarily spiritual songs. But no song that he ever wrote came close to having the success, the fame, and the impact upon people as that old song, "The Old Rugged Cross." Take your mind back to the first century. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that Jesus, as he grew up in Nazareth, and as he spent time throughout Judea Samaria, Galilee. Have you ever thought, do you think, Jesus ever had the opportunity or the occasion to see a cross? And to see someone else dying by crucifixion. It wasn't a common everyday experience, but it was not rare for the hardened criminals to be sentenced to die by execution on a cross. And I've wondered at times, as a boy, not me, but him as a boy, did he ever have an opportunity to look maybe at a distance, maybe even up close at a cross presently in use or formerly in use and wonder and think about himself? He knew that's where his life would end. When he looked at that cross that he was eventually nailed to, he saw that which was not something that people admired. It was something that people looked at with disgust and thought, pity on the man who is nailed to one of those. Jesus forever changed the way people looked at the cross. As I was preparing this message for tonight, I recall something from my own boyhood. 11 of my first 13 years were spent in Westmoreland, Tennessee, near the Kentucky line, north of Nashville. When I was in the 7th grade, our homeroom teacher announced to us that we were going on a field trip. I don't even remember whether the teacher said where we were going. We didn't care as long as we got out of the room and out of school. Get on that bus and go somewhere. But they carried us on a school bus into Nashville. They carried us to the state capitol. And I remember going as a tour group through the state capitol, the War Memorial Building, the great sites in Nashville in Davidson County. I thought that was pretty cool. And then they carried us to the state penitentiary. And we toured that state penitentiary in those sections where we were allowed to go that they felt like did not endanger us in any way. And the one thing that they showed us that all these years has stuck with me in my mind was when they carried us up to a door that had a small window, and we looked through that small window at the electric chair. That's the chair that was wired with powerful electricity to electrocute those that were sentenced to die because of crimes that they had committed. Looking back, to tell you the truth, maybe I should have wondered, why are they showing this to us? Maybe our teachers thought after teaching us a while we needed that object lesson, that maybe some of us might end up in that electric chair, and so it'd be a good thing for us to look at. I don't know what they thought, but I know it made an impression on me. You know what I was looking at through that window? I was looking at that which was the emblem of suffering and shame. To die in an electric chair was not an honor. And it had to be excruciating. In the first century, when Jesus, in his earthly ministry, prepared for that last moment, he knew he was going to die on that which was an emblem of suffering and shame. Those in the know say that the scourging that preceded crucifixion and the crucifixion itself would be the most horrible way that anyone could ever die. And he knew that would have awaited him. And to die on a cross was no honor. It was a shameful thing. I said a minute ago that he knew that was his destiny. In John chapter 12, just hours before Jesus would be betrayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, and just hours before he would be crucified, he looked at his disciples and said, "My soul is in anguish." He said, "The hour has come." And then he said, "So what shall I say? Shall I say, Father, deliver me from this hour?" No. Because, as Jesus said, it was for this hour that I came. It has to happen. Because there are people by the millions whose eternal salvation depends upon it. I want you to take your songbook. I want you to have it and your Bible open. And we're going to do some reading from the Bible as well as that song. And again, the number is 680. 680. Read with me just verse 1. On a hill, far away, stood an old, rugged cross. The emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and the best for a world of lost sinners was slain. I call to your attention, I call to your memory that Jesus went to that cross because of his love for you and me. God sent him to this earth to die on that cross because of God's love for you and me. And I call to your attention, and I call to your attention with emphasis this fact. He didn't wait until you loved him. He gave his life before you even existed. Now open your Bible to Philippians 2. Philippians chapter 2. Read with me beginning at verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He didn't just submit to dying. He willingly submitted himself to die in that horrible way of dying on the cross. And being equal with God, he didn't think that was something that he had to grasp and hold on to. He willingly gave it up. And if you read the scriptures carefully and study, he gave it up forever. And he took upon himself. He humbled himself. Did you catch that? Verse 7, he made himself of no reputation. Literally, it means he made himself to be nothing. He didn't come to this earth to be glorified, as many thought the king, the Messiah, would be. He came as a servant. The word servant there in verse 7 literally means a slave. He came to be a slave. He was made in the likeness of men and humbled himself. To die. And as Mr. Bernard wrote, I love that old cross because it was there that the dearest and the best gave his life for a world of lost sinners. And let me tell you what happened. Because of what he did, and because of how he died, the image of the cross forever was changed. Up until that point, it was despised. So said there in the second verse. I love that old cross, so despised by the world. That old rugged cross is despised by the world, thought of as an emblem of suffering and shame. But today, the cross is recognized by good people like you and me as the emblem of something good, the emblem of that upon which God died. People today wear an image of the cross on a chain from their ears. The cross is displayed today among right-thinking people as something that is worthy of our respect, not because of what it was, not because of what it became, but worthy of respect because of who was killed on it. Read verse 2. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left His glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. I call your attention to the first line of that second verse. Oh, that old rugged cross. Folks, the wood, the timber to which Jesus was nailed was not like this piece of wood here. Sanded, crafted, stained, varnished, smooth. It was a rugged piece of timber. And they laid him on that cross after they had beaten him unmercifully to the point that his back had to be bloody and bruised. His shoulders, his buttocks, his legs, every part of his body had been beaten again and again and again and again and again and again. The Romans had a scourging that was limited to 40 stripes, and they usually stopped at 39. Or rather, the Jews did, but the Romans had no such limitations, and so we don't know how many times they struck him. He was beaten within an inch of his life, as we would say, and weakened to the point. But that's when they summoned Simon of Cyrene to come and help him carry the cross. And so they laid his blooded body on that cross and drove spikes through his hands and his feet. And you know what happened? Read verse 3. In that old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine. If you could have seen that piece of wood hours later, you would have seen the discoloration where his blood coming from his body had penetrated the wood and stained it. But it wasn't just blood. It was God's blood. Turn your Bible to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. And read with me verse 18. 1 Peter 2, 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but, that is, by implication, you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. You see, when Jesus came to this earth, it was God coming down here to be one of us. And he wasn't just paying a visit. He came with a mission. A mission to die like a criminal. A mission to die like a man who has committed countless sins and yet never committed the first sin. He came down to this earth so that you could have forgiveness. And so, Mr. Bernard captured it in these words. And just think about it with me as I recite it. On that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me, for the dear Lamb of God left His glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. And in that old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wonderful beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross that Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. And I don't deserve it. And neither do you. As another song asks the question, who am I that the King would bleed and die for? Who am I? What is there about me that would make me worthy of that? The only answer that you can have that is plausible, that is correct, that is biblical, is the answer that God has given. God created you, and He created me, and He loves you, and He loves me so much that He gave His only begotten Son to die. And He listened to Him as He cried out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? But God didn't rescue Him. He left Him to die because it was the only way that you and I could have forgiveness. And down here on that table are trays with unleavened bread, fruit of the vine, And every Sunday, we who are believers gather and do as He said. What did He say? Remember me. I don't want you to forget what I did for you. Now the answer, I'll never know. I'll never comprehend in this mortal mind of mine how God loved me that much and lets me be His child and gives me forgiveness. But I thank God that He did love me that much. And I thank Jesus that He loved me that much. And I thank God for the privilege of gathering with Christians on Sunday to remember on a hill far away that old rugged cross where God died as God in the flesh and shed that divine blood so that I could be saved. So, appropriately, Mr. Bernard finished it. He said to that old rugged cross, I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach I'll gladly bear. Let somebody laugh at me for being a Christian. Let somebody make fun of me for believing in Christ. I don't care. I will bear that reproach gladly because He'll call me someday to my home far away where His glory forever I'll share. Praise be to God for that unspeakable gift. Open your songbook, please. Now to number 680, if it's not already open there. And we're going to sing that song again. We sing it as a song of encouragement. And if you're not a Christian, let these words move you to become one. If you're an erring Christian, let the words of this song motivate you to come back to that cross. If we could help you in any way, come while we stand and while we sing.